I want to read, dear friends, three passages. The first is in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22 on page 1177. Matthew chapter 22 and start at verse 1. Jesus answering spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heavens has become like a king who made a wedding feast for his son. Sent his bondman and called the persons invited to the wedding feast, and they would not come. Again he sent other bondmen, saying, 'Say to the persons invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted beasts are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they made light of it, and went one to his own land and another to his commerce. The rest, laying hold of his bondmen, ill-treated and slew them. When the king heard of it, he was wroth, and having sent his forces, destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his bondmen, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the thoroughfares of the highways, and as many as ye shall find, invite to the wedding feast.' Those bondmen went out into the highways and brought together all as many as they found, both evil and good. The wedding feast was furnished with guests. And the king, having gone in to see the guests, beheld there a man not clothed with a wedding garment. And he says to him, 'My friend, how camest thou in here not having on a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him feet and hands. Take him away and cast him in outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called ones, but few chosen.'" And then in Luke's Gospel and chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, page 1248, verse 20, "And he arose up and went to his own father, but while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. Son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his bondman, 'Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, and was lost and has been found.' They began to make merry. And his elder son was in the field. As coming up, he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. Having called one of the servants, he inquired what these things might be. He said to him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and well.' But he became angry, would not go in, and his father went out and besought him. But he answering said to his father, 'Behold, so many years I serve thee, never have I transgressed a commandment of thine. And to me thou hast never given a kid that I might make merry with my friends. When this thy son, who has devoured thy substance with harlots, is come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' But he said to him, 'Child, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was right to make merry and rejoice, because this thy brother was dead and has come to life again, was lost and has been found.'" Just in John chapter 14, page 1289. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says to him, that is Thomas, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." I was impressed in our occasion this morning with a word which was in a brother's prayer, about being clothed in the best robe, and brings home to us how each of us need to be clothed rightly to be in God's presence. Read two parables, and they're parables that the Lord used to illustrate what was acceptable to God. And first one I read rather a lot, but important thing was about that was there was a man there without a wedding garment, and was therefore unsuitable to be in the wedding feast. Now this is an illustration that God uses about the kingdom of the heavens, and it's kingdom of the heavens is really what we might say is the place of God's dwelling. God desires that all men should dwell with him. That was what was his purpose in creating man, that he might have a creature that he might be able to commune with. First day, I would suggest it was the first day anyway, he came down into the garden to, in the cool of the day, to commune with the creature of his creation. And yet that creature was hiding from his creator. He was hiding from his creator because sin had come in. He therefore realized that he was unsuitable for the presence of God. Dear friend, as sinners, every single one of us are unsuitable for the presence of God. But the gospel preaching goes out tonight to teach us and to instruct us that we can be made suitable for the presence of God. But we can't be made suitable for the presence of God by anything of our own efforts, dear friend. There's many people who try to improve themselves. Businesses have self-improvement programs where people might go on courses to learn how to present themselves better and to make themselves more appealing in the workplace. But you know, where heaven is concerned, there is no way of self-improvement. The only way that we can get into heaven is to be there in the righteousness of another. And I have the authority of God tonight to tell you that that way has been made open to you tonight, if only you will take it. And that is that you might be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has set foot upon the face of the earth, who has walked here amongst men, who has known no sin. He knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think of that. Think of one in whom there was no guile. Oh, that men today would speak without guile. Virtually every sentence people utter today, you question the authenticity of it, or you question the purpose for which you've been told things. With the Lord Jesus, that he was totally and utterly without guile. He was totally and utterly pleasing to his God and Father. He could truly say, I am altogether that I say unto you. That was the one who was the man of God's choice, you know. Indeed, he was God himself, made manifest in flesh. You know, he came in as a babe, you know, laying in a manger. Very, very poor circumstances. He wasn't born in a palace. He was a king, but born a king. The only one who's ever been born a king. But he was not born in a palace. He was born in a, best way to describe it, I suppose, is a cow shed, and laid in a manger. Probably the trough where the cows would have fed from. That was where the Lord Jesus was laid, you know. And yet the eye of heaven was upon him. The eye of heaven was upon him even there. The eye of heaven was upon him every single footstep that he took. Every single footstep that he took, every single thing that he did, every single thing that he thought, every single thing that he said was all in accordance with his God and Father. We get some 30 years that we know nothing about. And yet, at the end of that time, you know, the heavens were opened upon him. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. Think of that one who was so delightful to heaven that the heavens could be opened upon him. And yet, we get again in the Holy Scriptures that it says it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. You wonder at that, don't you? You wonder at that. You wonder that one who was so pleasing to his God and Father, it could be said it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. And yet, it was necessary. It was necessary that that should take place, because if it didn't take place, there could be no gospel preaching. There could be no way, no access into the presence of God for those who come to him in repentance. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God was prepared to sacrifice his Son. I was going to say it's an even more wonderful thing, but it's certainly equally wonderful that the Lord Jesus was prepared to be sacrificed, was prepared to deliver himself up into the hands of sinners, you know. Think of those wicked hands that took him. Think of how cruelly they handled him. Think of how they disrespected him and cursed him and mocked him, beat him, put him upon a cross. And yet, if the Lord Jesus had not been prepared to subject himself to it, there's not a single finger that could have been raised against him. One time when they came with sticks and so on to take him away, he said to them, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said, "I am he." And they fell away backward. They couldn't lay a finger upon him, you know. Yes, he was taken by wicked hands, but the Lord Jesus allowed himself to be taken that way. And he allowed himself to be taken that way, dear friend, so that he could suffer the just for the unjust. He could be hung upon that cross so that blessing could be proclaimed to you and to me. That is why the Lord Jesus went that way. And so we had this illustration that the Lord Jesus told of the king and the wedding feast. And as far as I understand it, there would have been a number of invitations gone out before the wedding feast. And there would have been clothing provided for those who were to attend the wedding feast. So therefore, when this man was found in this wedding feast, unsuitably clothed, it was a snub to the one who had made the invitation. Well, dear friend, the offer tonight is that you might come into God's presence tonight. You might come into God's presence and be free, but you can only do so by coming in clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has taken away the sins of the many, you know. He is the one who has gone to Calvary's cross, who has borne the sins of many, who has borne God's righteous judgment of sin. Time too awful for man to see into. There were 3 hours when it was daylight, but in the midst of the day, the darkness came over the whole land for 3 hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour, where God expiated his judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The end of that time, a soldier pierced the side of the Lord Jesus, and out flowed blood and water. God could rightly say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." Type given in the Old Testament of when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. But you know, surely looking forward to that time when the blood of Jesus was to be shed as a righteous basis that God could come out in blessing towards the sinner, dear friend. So how are we to lay hold of these things? Well, we get that, I believe, in the passage that I read in Luke 15. This man, he'd run away from the father's house. He thought he could make a better life for himself away in a country a long way off. Oh well, dear friend, isn't that like the sinner? The sinner has run away from God. They've tried to hide from God, hidden themselves a long way off. And yet, finally, he comes to himself and it says, He made up a little speech of what he was going to say to his father, because he noticed that, or he realized that the servants in the father's house were in a better situation than he was in. So he was going to come back to his father and plead with him for his mercy and make an arrangement that he might become a servant to him. And so he came back to his father and he started his speech. He said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee I am no longer worthy to be called thy son." Yes, dear friend, the way back into the presence of the Father, the way back into the presence of God, is by way of repentance. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. "I have sinned against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son." He had the rest of his speech all laid out, but the Father really interrupted. The father said to the bondman, "Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it." Yes, dear friend, in type, the blood of Christ was there. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ was there, available that this man might be clothed and brought in to share the father's pleasure. And He was clothed in this robe. He had the ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet. He was made suitable. He was made suitable to be in the Father's presence. And it said that there was, "Let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found." But there was someone outside. Someone outside who would not go in. This man was full of his own self-righteousness, his own self-worth. Wasn't prepared to cast himself upon the Father's mercy. He didn't even think he needed it. He was so full of all that he had done. Really, he misrepresented to the, "Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Well, it doesn't say that that's what happened. The Father said, "Kill the fatted calf." It was the Father's rejoicing that his son had been brought home. Oh, the joy in heaven over repenting sinners, dear friend. Will you bring joy to heaven tonight by coming to God in repentance? The chapter starts, says verse 7, "I say unto you, thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance." Will you come to God tonight in repentance, dear friend? Will you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you seek to justify yourself before God? Oh, dear friend, that is a foolish road to take, because you'll never achieve it. You will never, ever achieve it. Why not accept God's free offer of grace down at the feet of the Lord? Take your place. Dear friend, that is what is open to the believer tonight. It's open to any who will put their faith and trust in Jesus. Word was given to Thomas. Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." Come to the Father tonight, dear friend. His heart is open. It is waiting. That man in Luke 15, when he turned towards his father, it was while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And what happened? It looks like the father covered the distance and covered him with kisses, you know. Welcomed him in, brought him into the Father's house, brought him in to share the pleasure that he was enjoying. And there was music and dancing, there was joy. There was joy in heaven over a repenting sinner. Won't you tonight, dear friend, bring joy to heaven by coming to God in repentance? Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Don't set yourself on thinking that you can obtain God's mercy by your own righteousness. Oh, dear friend, that's a foolish way to go, and it will only lead to sorrow and sadness. Come to God. Come to God in repentance. Accept Jesus as your Saviour and know something of entering in, not so much to your joy, but to the Father's joy. That's what God has in his mind, that we should share his joy. That's what the portion of the believer is to be, to share the Father's joy. And you know, he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit that might be known in its measure at the present time, but it might be known for time and all eternity. God offers eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not living forever exactly in that sense. It's living in knowing what life is in God's presence, knowing what life is, what it is to have a relationship with a holy and righteous God without let or hindrance. It's offered to any tonight who will simply put their faith and trust in Jesus. It's not offered to those who think they can get there by their own merit. Dear friend, it's offered to those who will accept God's free offer of grace. Well, dear friend, I trust that each one of us will, if not for the first time, do it freshly tonight. Come to the feet of the Lord Jesus and put your faith and trust in him and his finished work. There's no better way to go tonight. Well, may we all do so for his name's sake.